Hello, good people! Welcome to our show! Hello, bad people! Welcome to our show! Hello, guys! Welcome! Today, we are going to discuss more about SEO and AI, how you can get great results, because today, it's tough to ignore this tool. It's almost impossible, and what I can see the last time, all SEO specialists share about new terminology, geo, generative engine experience, and all our niches are coming to a new way. I'm so excited to discuss a lot more with Tom Winter. How are you?
Hey, Anthony. Like, it's really great to be here, and it's actually my second time, so I love the first time, and I like your podcast. Like, how do you create them, and like the people that are sharing so much knowledge here. So definitely happy to be here, and hopefully I will share some knowledge from my side that you'll be able to implement the next day.
I have no doubts about that, because I know how you're active on LinkedIn. By the way, guys, if you want to learn more about Tom, follow him on LinkedIn. He posts a lot. He's super active on that to bring valuable insights, to lead in the right direction. I often check his posts to get something new for me. So highly recommend to do it. And Tom, before we start, just remind more about yourself, experience, background, and anything that can help our listeners to learn more about you.
Sure. So I'm the founder at SEOWindow.io, which is an AI writing tool. But what we focus on is the research part, and the whole workflow, the whole process is the most important part of our AI writing. So if we can find all the details, all the information that we need, which is basically 80% of the whole process that we look for, we can create content by delivering context to AI in a digestible form. So AI writing, I would say, is the cherry on the top. Like, when you have all the pieces in place, it's easy. Personally, I'm half a developer, half a marketer. I love to play around with AI, rather not the chat form, but like do mostly through API, because I like to do it at scale. I like to have predictable results. And this is like the biggest problem that I face on a daily basis with AI, predictable results. And this thing in SEO matters the most.
Yeah. I like to predict as well, but I'm not often accurate with that. Sometimes I can forecast some data, but it depends. You know, it's tough to predict. But, you know, I have some big agency owners, and what I found, and I spoke with them, what I can see, almost, probably all of them, because I don't know who adapted a lot to geo, what we have today. And I just want to know your thoughts about that, because I see people don't change many things, just keep doing SEO that we know, technical optimization, link building, PR, because it can help to get traffic from ChatGPT AI search. And what we found, that this traffic converts much better than Google traffic. You know, probably it looks like ChatGPT can do this job instead of us, because we created a lot of info content, educational content, created this pre-sales funnel, but for now we just get leads, you know, and results. What do you think about geo-optimization today?
I think it matters. Like, still looking from analytics perspective, you have to look at the percentage of traffic that you're getting. I would say it's still 5 to 10%. If you go to analytics, like what you're getting from geo compared to 90% or 85% that you're getting from Google. So like, look at it from this perspective. It's still low. But what you said, Anatoly, like, it makes a lot of sense that these leads are kind of like better. Like, if you would ask like yourself why, I explain it in a way that LLMs are kind of like an extension of your website, which you don't have control over. This is the big problem, but it's an extension of your website that already pre-nurtures the leads on their side. So you don't know exactly what kind of a discussion the user went through, but it's not just a link from LLM to your website. They already went through some kind of nurturing process that they found some specific things in LLM directly there. And this is what interested them into visiting your website. And this is basically the reason why these leads are better, because they're pre-nurtured. The problem is that you don't know exactly, you don't have control over what LLMs will do with information. So what you said, building content that resonates and building content that is full of value is really important from the geo perspective, because if LLMs scrape your data, scrape information that what you did, they will use it at some point to provide it to the users. So the better quality, the better, I would say, EAT, so experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness you will build in the content that you're creating, the more likely it will provide these information to the users and nurture them before they send it to you.
Okay, yeah, got it. Yeah, makes sense. But let's talk about what type of content to create. Because, I mean, like, we wrote a bunch of blog posts. And the main goal was to get SEO traffic. And I started to write my first blog post probably in 2010, many years ago, like a decade ago. And I didn't have good experience with writing, but at that time competition was low, so Google ranked everything, you know, and we just updated, improved our writing skills during the time, because more and more competitors came, started to write blog posts, and according to some data, blog content gets plus 50% of all traffic online, a lot of traffic. But for now, things are changing. What we can see that people don't need to read blog posts because they can get answers on ChatGPT or AI mod or AI overview. So, what do you think about this strategy today? Do we need to write blog posts? Because I still see when people are asking how many blog posts to write, what kind of blog posts, and that was like the main part of sales funnel. What about today? What do you think?
I would still do them, but what I would do, I would focus on a specific niche and actually niche down with the blog post that you're creating. So think about it like you would create like a traditional business. So let's say you're a plumber, like a single freelance plumber that starts your business. Will you start your business worldwide? I doubt it. Like, probably not. Like, will you start your business even countrywide? I doubt. Probably you will have like a certain region, and within this region, you will be a plumber of a specific thing. Like, you will either fix some like leaking things in plumbing, or like specific thing. Niche down first, like start small and then grow your business. Like, so you have to do similar within content. So if you are creating some kind of a content, you can't create like a whole marketing, like, and talk about all the marketing, because first of all, Google will not treat you as an authority with the whole marketing experience. You have to find your niche, like a specific narrow down niche, like really, and become the Wikipedia of this small niche. Like, if you think that you found your niche, niche it down. I think, like, go a step further. Like, you have to find something small and grow from there, like from pond to pond. Google will let you in. And also like LLMs, like, will feel that you're an authority of a specific niche, probably in a specific region, and build your authority, because right now your brand is the new backlinks. So the more people will be talking about you in a specific region, the more likely you will get covered in Google and also in LLMs. Like, you have to become the authority of a specific niche, probably in a specific region.
Yeah, yeah. And what do you think about writing some blog content in order to share your topical authority? Let me explain better about that. I mean, like, I know some agency owners, they usually write about just one specific niche, and they don't get traffic for most of their content, but they rank with content they need. So probably they show like topical authority that they know about this niche, and it can help with EEAT. So they just write and focus only in one direction. What do you think about this strategy?
Unfortunately, you will have to focus in a specific direction, and you will see this data in Google Search Console. So if you go to Google Search Console and you see like, where are you getting the most traffic from, or what pages are responsible for most traffic, you will see probably Pareto there. So 20% of pages are bringing you 80% of traffic. And then you will see within these keywords that they rank for, that they will be clustered out. Like, so there will be a specific cluster where you perform a lot better than in other clusters. So then ask yourself, what else should I cover within this cluster that my topical authority is to do it. Like the place that you can find your topical authority is definitely Google Search Console. So yeah. This is where I would look for it. The problem is that there is no simple answer. What is my topical authority? This is the fun part that you have to actually go through and to extract the keywords. Probably you can actually use the LLM to show you like what is my topical authority based on keywords that you will extract from Google Search Console, and you will provide to LLMs. But like treat it with a grain of salt and use your brain like when looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Tom, let's check out the evolution of AI since ChatGPT was launched. And I remember when the first version came like over 3 years ago, many marketing experts, writers said that this tool can't beat human being. It's impossible because writing, manual writing is much better. And this tool doesn't have spirit, the emotions, many other things. And even at that time, Google punished AI content for a while. Then Google changed this policy. After some time, Google changed this policy just to remove that Google punishes low-quality content, not AI content.
Yeah, exactly. But you just need to create for humans and high-quality content.
Yeah, it doesn't matter who created, human or AI, just create quality. Yeah. You know? And exactly. Today, according to some data, AI content ranks even better than manual writing content. I check a few studies, and even more, a few days ago, I found one more study that AI prefers to take AI written content to regenerate their content than human written content. So can you tell about creating quality by using AI?
Okay, so as you mentioned, like 3 years ago, about 3 years ago, GPT-3 was announced with ChatGPT. So like the visual chat way of looking at GPT, this was GPT-3. I was using GPT-2 before that, but you could use it only through API. Since then, like we had GPT-4 and like 2 weeks ago, GPT-5. Also, like there's different models like from Anthropic, there's models from Google, Gemini models, and so on and so forth. So basically what we saw in the last 3 years, there was a huge step up like from GPT-3 to GPT-4. And to be honest, like when GPT-5 was announced like 2 weeks ago, we could see a little bit like progress. Like I've actually tested it out, like GPT-4 against GPT-5. We just plugged it into our system. We changed the models like for AI writing into the whole workflow. And the funny thing, GPT-5 was worse than GPT-4.1, to be honest, because this is what we were using. I still believe that it was a bug on the side of how they launched GPT-5. And there's like definitely something wrong with how they implemented it into production mode. But assuming that it's like better, we will see just incremental improvements in the models, which is basically 5%, something that is invisible to eyes of a normal human being. If you don't have like a huge workflow that you can test predictability. So the thing that I started with to see like, what are your results? And you'll have like kind of like a quality gate that will actually check if this is like did you improve it or not? Because this is the most important part in SEO. You have to find predictable results. If you're going to an expert, you want certain results, like easy as that. If I go to AI, I want certain results and I want to make them as good as possible. So these incremental improvements, really small improvements in AI models, will not be the thing that is driving currently the quality of the outputs. The quality of the outputs are actually driven by what we're talking about today. So workflows with AI agents. So something that has a huge workflow that resembles how we as humans would do something. So if we are creating content, we're dividing the whole process into steps. And between these steps, we are actually having quality gate. So we're checking if we're reaching a gate, like a quality gate at specific level. So did we do a specific research? Did we get enough information from different sources so we can proceed to the next step? If not, we probably need to iterate on this process. We need to get more data. More, I don't know, case studies, statistics, thought leadership insights, maybe something from our own websites. Maybe we need to dig through our own documents. that we have, like, to gather the data, and then we go to the next step. And these workflows, if you create them with quality gates in between, that will check a draft, and then we'll check if we did actually interlink it properly, if we gave enough data on certain steps, and we're rewriting the article, rewriting it again based on specific needs that we have multiple times in the process, then we can create quality. But this is difficult. This is something that is impossible, I would say, inside ChatGPT, inside the chat form, because it's just like so freaking overwhelming. There's so many things, there's so many puzzles like on the table that you just can't put it together as a human being. Like, you need to use a computer, actually a process with like certain quality gates inside to be able to pull it out, like to have predictable results. I would tell you a story from a couple of conferences that I've been on. There were speakers talking about EAT score, like, so EAT this, EAT that, like, so we need to do EAT. And I was a speaker there, and also like among the audience. So I was like the asshole asking questions like, okay, EAT everywhere. So how do you know that you're doing good with EAT? It's like intuition. It's like, okay, like based on intuition, like you will justify the hell out of everything, because like you need to prove that you're right. And this is how humans are. So let's say we are creating an article, and then we're updating an article based on EAT factors, as you said. How do you know that the updated article is better when it comes to EAT than the previous one? Like, because that's why we updated it, right? And they're like, I just know it. It's like, no, you don't. You don't measure it. If you don't measure it, then you don't know it. This is, again, your intuition. Intuition doesn't get you in the right direction if you can't measure it. So you actually need to see what is, how good looks like. You have to understand it at every single stage, and you have to measure it to be able to say, okay, I'm there. I did it. And this is something that is really hard to do in ChatGPT, to actually have these quality gates to understand, okay, I actually made an improvement. I went to this direction that I wanted to, and I'm making something better.
Yeah. By the way, about EEAT, and you know, for example, I usually rely on offers, you know, so if someone can write articles, I usually rely on them, because for example, before cooperating with anybody else, I usually check out if these offers have good recognition, if these offers posted content that earn organic reach. And we started to do it since 2019, when this EAT appealed. You know, then Google updated to EEAT. Someone who doesn't know it, expert authority trust. And before 2019, we cooperated with a bunch of copywriters, a lot of copywriters. But yeah, we stopped all these corporations and started to cooperate with experts with writing background. So if experts can write about one niche, then we analyze if this expert posted content that earned a lot of traffic. So we reach out to them. I don't use Upwork to find any freelancers, but when we usually scan internet in specific niche, scan all blogs, and all these blog posts have offers, then we analyze their articles. If we see organic reach, then we understand, okay, this offer knows how to write. And I don't care personally if this offer uses ChatGPT or not. I care about quality. If offer knows how to use ChatGPT to create quality, then we can cooperate. So and on that, I rely on this offer because I know this offer has proven experience. He can
Knows
how to write. So I don't need to teach, you know, how to write. So it's my measurement. I don't know. Of course, EAT, it's like authority about backlinks, many things. But if I see proven record, for me, it's enough.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. But it's really difficult to scale at really fast pace. So, for example, like we have a customer that creates about 600 articles per month. Mm-hmm. If he would have to choose like content writers for every single article that they're doing, they would need probably about 40 content writers to actually cover these 600 articles that they're doing. But if we, for example, because apart from the tool itself, what we do, we also like do white label content writing, where we create and optimize our workflows for specific needs of a customer. So as I said, if we know how good looks like, we can recreate good, like so for specific SOPs of a customer. And they were able to like lower the cost by 50%, and to be honest, increase the quality, because at scale, when you have like so many contractors, it's extremely hard to keep the quality at a certain level. Probably you have like a really amazing 5-6 contractors from these 40, which will outperform every single other one. But then you have like a problem with 25 of them. And probably, maybe not a problem, 15 will be goodish, and 10 will be like just get rid of them because they're not bringing in quality. So this is like a problem for agencies.
Yeah. And what's the point to write like 40 articles? You mean like you have a lot of clients, or you just
40 contractors? They're doing, as an agency, they're doing about 600 articles per month.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like for me,
not for themselves.
Yeah. For me, less but quality is key. I mean, like, so, but if you have these contracts, yeah, of course, it's better to find the way.
Because you have like, I don't know, 100, 150 customers, and you have to deliver them quality content every single month. Keeping the quality is one of the hardest things that agencies like have to face, like keeping the quality at scale. Because like, if you're small, it's kind of easy. When you're scaling it, that becomes the hardest part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get a lot of questions about how to write and get quality. Especially, I have many students in my network. I don't know how these people can find me, but they follow me, you know, and ask all these questions. I just want to lead them in the right direction. And especially today, according to data, and by the way, we analyzed the process, what's going on in the US, and according to data, 65,000 people lost their jobs in big tech companies like Google, mm-hmm. Amazon, IBM, Microsoft, and I was surprised because these companies still growing, you know, they have mm-hmm. higher market capitalization, they have a lot of more revenue, but for example, Microsoft fired 4%. I mean, like 9,000 mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. and smart people, you know, to join Microsoft or Google, you need to be really smart, but AI can replace them. And that is why I get a lot of questions from students who are scared about the future, because a few years ago, that was a good opportunity to join any company like intern, you know, to do some boring stuff, to do some manual job. But today, mm-hmm. when real smart people can lose jobs because of AI, what will you propose for students, newbies who want to join this niche, but nobody wants to hire them?
So learn fast. Like I will not have good news. Like in my opinion, this is my personal opinion. Like this trend that you're talking about will continue, and it will speed up in the next year or two. Just because really when it comes to AI, I think it's better than I am, like in many, many things. So the question is what I'm better in than AI is. And to be honest, like for me, it's creating these whole workflows and understanding exactly where I'm heading to. I can't compete with AI with some small things like looking for data, like creating an outline and content writing, like actually writing, to be honest. If I'm able to deliver to AI enough context and enough information about like what I want and how I want it. So if I'm writing an article and I'm telling it like, look, this case study will help me out here. These quotes will help me here. My special matter expert said this and this, like we have to include it into this article. We have like some additional data on our website about our services, which should be included here and here. This is very, very specific. And I'm using AI as a logical engine, not a search engine. And if you're able to design and help to resolve certain problems that are currently in companies that you can automate, then basically you're golden. Like this is a place where you will be hired straight away. So looking at all the things that the company has and is defined as an SOP is the first place to look for. So what can I implement? What can I automate using make.com, N8N, like any kind of a tool like that, that can create a workflow, and how I can show it that I can do it for you? This is the way to find the job. In my opinion, right now, like, I would basically focus on that, because a lot of companies are currently, no, I'm not talking about the big guys who know already where to go and what to do. They have a question, how to pivot? What should we do to implement AI? They're very, very hesitant, like, to do it, because nobody wants to take the responsibility for the whole change that should happen in the company. But if you can help them out to actually build some processes, I've seen it a lot with a lot of people that I talk to, that somebody did a side job, like, in the company, said, like, okay, we do reports, like, for our customers every single week. So I actually had, like, a couple of hours on the weekend, and I've built this process using AI in the whole process. I'm pulling the data from Google Search Console, then I'm doing this, then I'm doing that, and then I'm creating kind actually a report that everybody hates to do every single week. And we're automating the whole process.
Yeah, of course.
And they said, like, you know what? Actually, you're fired from your current position, but you're hired for a different one. From now on, you'll be automating all the things that we do inside the company, and you'll get a raise.
Yeah, like, yeah. Yeah, of course, of course.
What happened?
What do you mean?
Like, with this person that I've talked to, this was exactly like the thing that happened in real time, like in real life that they saw. And right now, nobody wants to fire this person, because who else will be doing this job?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And by the way, according to data, I like to learn more about data. Companies today are hiring people with less skills, but with AI experience. So if someone has AI experience, you don't need to be smarter than others, but you need to know how to drive AI to get better.
But when we're talking about AI experience, it's not talking inside ChatGPT. Let's be honest. Like, this is something that will go away in the next half a year or a year. You'll be still talking to AI in chat. Like, that's not a problem. But you can't get things done there. Like, at scale, it's almost impossible. Like, with repeatable processes, like you normally have for human beings, like, for example, creating a report, it's exactly the same process every single time, every single week. So if you can create workflows, and this is exactly where AI will shine, and it can outperform ChatGPT or like any chat form of AI, this is the workflows. I can bet at the moment that I can beat, using GPT-3, I can beat GPT-5 with having a proper workflow where I will scrape data and get data from different places and provide it to AI, GPT-3, and I will outperform GPT-5 with that. So if the process is good, I can outperform a far better model. That's not a problem. Mm-hmm. But it's all about with designing, like, how you put things together, what AI needs to do it. My only problem with GPT-3 would be the context window. This would be the only problem that I would fix. And I would have to hack it if I would be doing this, what I just said. But I can bet that I can win with older version of the model with a newer one just by creating a far better workflow with AI agents.
Yeah, of course. Of course. By the way, guys, just want to encourage a little bit about the future, especially students. You know, when I was young, to get any information, I should go to library, you know, to search for the book, to find specific pages. Today, Google, YouTube, ChatGPT, you have everything. I mean, like, if nobody wants to hire you, just do your job, start yourselves. I mean, like, I remember when someone told me about, I wanna sell services, Instagram promotion. I replied, okay, do it. Show me your Instagram. How many followers you have? Which pictures, photos you publish there? I mean, like, people are looking for real experience. It's not if you get any course how to grow on Instagram or how to learn SEO. I mean, like, you need to do this job, to make your hands dirty. And when, you know, when I started PR, that was interesting about that, because we cooperated with big client and he paid a lot of money. And the main task was to write, to distribute 12 press releases a week. One press release cost $6,000, you know, but yeah, we needed 12. A lot of money, like plus $72,000. I started to write myself. I wrote a bunch of press releases. I felt with all of them over 3 months, zero mentions, zero links, nothing. But I keep writing, writing, writing. And after 3 months, I got first the most simple links mentions. After 6 months, we get average results. And after 9 months, we got Forbes, CNN, Bloomberg, Yahoo, MSN, big websites, a lot of big websites, but that was patience, just doing this job. It's not like to learn. I read many articles about PR, I watched a bunch of videos, but if I didn't make my hands dirty, it's impossible to get any results.
And what you said, like here, we learn best on our mistakes, unfortunately. And also, yeah, like I have kids and I know that they need to make mistakes to actually learn. And this is like hard truth for me as a parent, but I know that we learn better. Like if we would succeed at the first moment, like that you said, like with our first PR release, you would not learn how to do it. Yeah. Like probably you would fail later because that was an accident. But like because of this process that you were failing, and you weren't afraid of failing, you were able actually to reach to a certain level. And what you said before, I also would like to say today you have a huge opportunity to learn a lot of things. You have your private tutor that we, like I'm a little bit older than most of you probably. We had to pay for a tutor, a lot of money. Right now, go to ChatGPT. He's your private tutor. Like he will help you out to how to boost certain things in TikTok, whatever. Like he will teach you, make mistakes. Don't be afraid of making mistakes, but he's one-on-one with you. He's just concentrated on helping you. Like for me, for Anatoly, like to get that, like when we were younger, that was impossible. I actually was listening to a podcast, Lex Friedman with Sundar Pichai, who is the CEO of Google. Just imagine that he didn't have running water when he was young. So like this is the level that like I had running water like when I was young, like so this wasn't my problem, but he didn't have, like he had to learn a lot like in extreme environment.
I listened to this episode and that was a good episode, you know, very inspirational, you know, without technologies, without money, without nothing, literally nothing. So he achieved,
but he had to learn, like he did it.
And about mistakes, I agree. I mean, like I made a lot of mistakes, terrible mistakes. I keep doing them, you know. So I don't know the way how to go ahead without doing many mistakes. You know, I remember when Mark Zuckerberg said about that, if you don't make mistakes, you're not innovative enough, you know. So you need to do a lot of mistakes. Tom, I touched a little bit about PR and let's get back to link building and PR. Can you tell which methods you use to rank in AI search? ChatGPT, doesn't matter, Perplexity, AI mod. So do you still use link building PR or do you recommend something else?
We're still using it for with some customers, like to actually create backlinks, because this is one of the ways to create brand authority. And we're focused on actually showing more of the brand. So, because in my opinion, brand mentions, like, so how many people actually type in brand inside LLMs or inside Google matters. Like the more people mention you somewhere in talks directly with LLMs, the better. What I also like to do is actually be placed in places where LLMs are scraping the data. So you can basically go directly to LLMs and talk about a specific topic, like about best tools for the this or that task. What would you recommend? And then see like if you're there or not. If you're not there, you can go deeper in the whole discussion, asking like, okay, where can I find the sources that you actually took it from? And then like find the places where it took it from. Will it be accurate? Most probably. and then find a way to be on these lists, find a way to put yourself there. And this is the PR that I would do.
Yeah, awesome, awesome. And I have my final question, very important for my audience. I know, when I speak with you, I have the feeling to speak like many days, you know, to learn a lot more. But guys, we don't have this time. If you want to learn more, as I mentioned in the beginning, you need to follow Tom on LinkedIn. He's very generous to share all these valuable tips almost every single day. I don't know if you post every day, but I often see in my recommendations. And Tom, about the future of SEO. So New York Times posted this article, SEO is that inside the context that was different, but we know that many people just read headlines. Okay, SEO is that, I need to leave it. why I need to pay attention to that. But anyway, what about the future? Of course, today SEO is not that, because SEO brings a lot of traffic, great traffic. But what do you think about, like, will be in 5-10 years?
I don't know exactly. Definitely SEO was dead so many times that I just lost count. This is not one of the things. If you go to Google Trends, people are actually looking for an SEO agency more than they were looking at it like in the last years. And I think it's doubled in the last year, to be honest. So people are looking for agencies that will create, like, make SEO for them. But definitely the whole search will change. So we are going more into conversational mode as humans, and we're looking for specific things more as we would ask our advisor, the best advisors, which is LLMs, or the whole AI mode from Google and so on. Like, and you can see it in Google Search Console that the way we talk to Google and AI is changing. Probably, as I said, like in the beginning, AI will be more of an extension of your website. There will be more things happening on the side of LLMs, which we will not have full control over what is happening there. But like, the better value we will show that we're bringing to the users, the more likely we will appear in AI. And I think like this will actually, in the next 5 years, 10 years, this will still be there. Like, so SEO, GEO, however you call it, people like to say, like, we're doing right now only GEO, like, and I'm asking them, how is it different from what you were doing with SEO? They can mention a couple of things. I'm not saying that there are no differences, but like 90%, there's an overlap between one and the other.
Yeah, I agree. I like it. And I know when marketers on TV and radio, newspaper, just adapted to digital. And if something will happen in the future, if you have great skills with SEO, you can adapt to any environment. It doesn't matter what kind of environment will be, because SEO is not only ranking on Google. It's like how to optimize your website with technical, how to earn backlinks that bring traffic recognition, brand recognition, how to create high quality content that works everywhere. You know, so SEO teaches many things. It's not only to get mentions in these blue 10 links, but if you have this knowledge, skills, you can adapt to any environment and you will be fine. It doesn't matter what kind of future will be. Just pay attention where customers can switch their attention. Yeah, Tom.
But just learn, make mistakes, as you mentioned earlier. Make mistakes, like, don't be afraid of them, and learn things.
Of course. Yeah. And Tom, tell the best way how to keep learning from you, how to reach out to you, how to follow you.
So definitely, as Anatoly said, like, I live on LinkedIn. This is my second home. If you want to reach out to me, like, and talk about anything, I'm happy to answer some questions. So like, just follow me, send a direct message. I will answer. You can follow me there. And if you want to learn more about like how to write using AI, just definitely go to SEOwindow.io and check it out. Compare it to your process and see what's the output, what's the quality of the things that you're getting there compared to what you're doing. And that would be it.
Awesome. Awesome, guys. I tech Tom Winter on my LinkedIn post, so you can find him there. I think thanks a lot for listening, watching this episode. I appreciate your attention because we want to lead you in the right direction. Tom, it's a big pleasure. Welcome back anytime. Usually speak one time in 2 years, but if you want to join more often, yeah, always welcome. Okay, guys.
Thank you, Natalie. It was a pleasure.